started, everybody. This is the deploying HRSA Telehealth Center of Excellence case nationwide. So as I want to get into this, I just want to give a little background. Rural hospitals have closed throughout the country. Another 400 are considered high risk, categories high risk for closing due to various financial strains. These closures will continue to widen the healthcare disparity gap in our country. And while there's no, you know, one single magic pill that can cure this epidemic, there is a movement in South Carolina of competing organizations coming together under a shared vision and shared goals of how to transform the way healthcare is delivered in South Carolina. And so before I go into that, and I just want to give a little bit of context in regards to before we engage our panelists. So MUSC has been providing telehealth for over a decade ago. Really started with clinical champions doing, you know, grassroots type of initiatives to address some of the healthcare disparities around maternal fetal health and stroke care. But in 2013, the state made a significant investment through MUSC, the Medical University of South Carolina, to one, create telehealth services that meet the needs of our communities, sustainable telehealth services that do that. And two, create a statewide collaborative that would bring multiple stakeholders together under a shared vision and shared goals. So through that, the MUSC Center for Telehealth was created, bringing these services together under that mission statement of telehealth for efficient and effective care. And then also in 2014, within a year later, we established the South Carolina Telehealth Alliance as the statewide collaborative. So background on that, at MUSC, through robust enterprise adoption of telehealth service development, MUSC created what is now known as the Telehealth Service Implementation Model, also known as TSIM. This is a structured framework in regards to how to take a telehealth idea through development and through a common architecture to develop sustainable telehealth services. This contributed to over 80 unique telehealth services being developed at MUSC. And in 2017, MUSC was recognized and entered into a cooperative agreement with HRSA and was designated a National Telehealth Center of Excellence. What that means is telehealth is happening every day, all the time in South Carolina. And earlier this spring, the SCTA was recognized by the American Telemedicine Association with their President's Award for our efforts, collaborative efforts in transforming the way healthcare is delivered in South Carolina. So with that, we'll start to get into our panelists. I'm joined here by Dr. Catherine Cristaldi and Ryan Cruz that represent both MUSC and the SCTA. So Dr. Cristaldi, maybe we'll start with you. Can you give, I guess, a little bit more background about the vision of telehealth in South Carolina and how that's evolved with the SCTA?
Sure. Thank you, Sean. So the thought really in South Carolina was that the mission of widespread telehealth adoption and implementation would help combat healthcare disparities in our particularly rural state. And so that's really been the driving force that was really what inspired physicians to start the grassroots efforts in their individual service lines, was really a need to reach patients who otherwise did not have access to care. Now what that's meant is in order to be good stewards of the state's funding to support these efforts, is that we've all had to work together. That means traditionally competing hospital systems in the state had to come together around a common table and say, how do we want to get this work done together? And how, in what way could we do it that would be the most efficient and the best for our patients and the citizens of South Carolina? It became very clear very early on that that would revolve around care provided as locally as possible, but always backed up by the larger healthcare systems as needed. And that kind of network of care necessitated what we became, what we came to call an open access network. So the way that, you know, traditionally healthcare industry has driven technology is in a closed silo with technology that was not necessarily interoperable. And it became very clear that if we were going to all work together in the state to serve patients, that we would have to be committed to technology that was open access or interoperable. And so we spent a lot of time over the last really decade thinking about the stages of maturity of that open access network and how we moved from just establishing standards from our technology to really collaborative models of care that use that technological framework. So those have been, you know, the major themes. How can we get together? How can we collaborate and use really open access technology to best serve our patients?
Yeah, and so Brian, you think about that level of coordination and communication, because that's unique for all these stakeholders coming across the state, competing systems to be able to do that. What do you feel like were some of the key steps to be able to operationalize that vision?
So I think that, like Katie said, the bringing together diverse stakeholders, competing health systems, to create a common vision. In order to do that, we really needed an organizational structure that kind of allowed folks to come to the table on a regular basis, and that, you know, allowed us to, you know, when bringing together these diverse stakeholders, come to a common vision that both allowed us to move in the same direction, but also allowed for these individual health systems and partners to kind of also follow some of their own priorities as well, while at the same time putting guardrails. Like Katie said, we had to be stewards of the funds, so we wanted to make sure that the funds led us in that common direction. So one of the ways that we really have been able to do this and keep coming together is through our annual collaborative strategic planning process. So it's actually happening right now. Every fall, we pull together different leaders from all of the different health systems participating in the South Carolina Telehealth Alliance, our Department of Mental Health, and some of our partners that work in broadband. We bring all of our different leaders in the state together. Sometimes it's up to like 70 or 80 different individuals representing over 40 organizations. Have different work groups, different strategy sessions, and we map out what we plan to do together in the year ahead. And the way that we've structured it in recent years, we've got 8 different strategies. And so obviously there's a lot of energy that's going into developing those clinical services that are gonna reach kind of our rural communities and address healthcare disparities. So our big health systems are working on that, but we also acknowledge that in order to really increase adoption in the state, we needed to have some strategies that kind of change the culture and change the infrastructure in South Carolina to make it amenable to telehealth adoption. So we have a whole strategy focused on expanding broadband into rural communities. We can't get the clinical services out there if we don't have broadband in those communities. We have a group working on telehealth education, making sure that our providers and our healthcare trainees understand telehealth, understand what it means to, you know, be telehealth practitioners. We've got a group working on promotion to make sure our general public feels and our patients feel comfortable using this, know that telehealth means just as good of care as seeing their provider in office, and then have groups working on sustainability and reimbursement. So there's lots of different arms. And going to this open access discussion, early on we brought together kind of IT leadership to kind of really map out what does this mean in South Carolina and giving definitions to what our open access standards were, which then allowed us, when it came to our funding, to be able to write into our contracts, you know, if you're going to use state dollars to go towards equipment, it's got to be open access. We got to be a part of this common vision. And also, you know, when we give out funding to different partners, you got to participate in this annual strategic planning process. And then the last thing I'd note is that accountability has been really key and critical to this as well. So like I said, every year we map out key deliverables for the year ahead. But then on a quarterly basis, we have all of our community partners report what progress they're making on those deliverables. And then we, in turn, hand that over to the state and create quarterly reports to the state on how we're doing on our strategic plan. Again, all of this helping us move in the same direction and work towards that common vision.
So, Dr. Castaldi, it's obviously a lot of planning, again, coordination. As a clinician, from your perspective, what do you feel all that planning, like how that impacts your patients and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think for a lot of people, an annual strategic planning process sounds like a lot. And it's a lot. But really for us, you know, what it meant was sort of at least twofold. One is that planning process has kept us out of the trap of setting kind of short-term goals. So I want to be able to see my patient who's 2 hours away. And so let's set up the infrastructure to do that and think about workflows. Okay, I did that, and now I don't know what to do next. Or how to scale that, or what my long-term vision really is. Or I think, you know, the other side of that spectrum is sometimes organizations say, we want a statewide telehealth network. That's our 5-year vision. And then don't really have a plan to get there. So I think that it's easy to get stuck in both of those places. And I think that's where we're coming together annually and saying, okay, what are short, medium, and long-term goals? And while we established a 5-year vision and a 10-year vision, coming together annually forces us to have the stepwise process of achieving that vision. I think it also has kept us up to date in this very rapidly changing environment that is telehealth. I think the things that we thought were possible for our patients 5 years ago are different from the things that are possible today and are going to be different from the things that are possible in 5 years or even less. And as a clinician, what I want is the most effective care for my patient. It's made me stop, take a step back and say, you know, instead of delivering my care in 3-month intervals for 15 minutes at a time, and that's how I organize how I care for my patient and how I deliver interventions in a certain disease process. Instead, what if I said, I just want one bit of information every day? If I had one bit of information every day, how would I more effectively take care of my patient? And this technology has enabled us to have one bit of information every single day if we want, and really rapidly change how we manage patients. I think that the process has also enabled us to really have a bi-directional relationship with a lot of technology vendors. And that was, for me as a clinician, an unexpected kind of perk of really thinking about what the next stage in development should be and thinking ahead, is that that's what the industry does. It pushes us forward. It's always thinking about the next thing. And by being able to sit down and saying, right, I really like...
The 2019 Converge to Accelerate conference is brought to you by IEEE, the world's largest technical professional organization for the advancement of technology. Boehringer Ingelheim, passionately working to improve healthcare. NASCO, advancing digital health together. Forced to new heights.